Hey, have you guys checked out Make Crate yet? Our family just started using our new Make Crate, and it's so awesome. Make Crate is a fun, hands-on electronics kit paired with an online platform to teach your kids coding fundamentals and engineering skills. You can make electronic games, instruments, clocks, a burglar alarm, and lots more fun stuff. And best of all, there's no technical expertise required. Order your Make Crate today at makecrate.club/sr. Again, go to makecrate.club/sr to learn more and be sure to thank them for providing the transcript for this week's podcast. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am super excited about our guest today. I know you are going to be so encouraged by her and her story. Her name is Jessica Mullen and she is a homeschool mama. She is an adoptive mom, and we are going to listen to just the amazing things that God is doing in her life and in and through her family. So, Jessica, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Yep. Super excited to have you. Introduce your family to us.
Okay. Well, we have two kids. We have a son who's 13 and a daughter who's 8. And we're a homeschool family who is just doing day-to-day life and trying to serve Jesus in some places that can be difficult, but pretty amazing when he asks you to show up. So we're doing life with our kids, and it's been an exciting journey.
Yeah, well, you've got a really neat ministry. I first heard of your ministry about a year and a half ago. We were at a home business conference with Ray Perry together. And I heard of Option Adoption, which is your ministry. And it's an incredible thing that God has placed your family on top of. And you guys are just soaring with this. And so I would love for you to tell us a little bit first about Option Adoption and what it is that you do with your ministry.
Okay, sure. Well, Option Adoption is a ministry that we started after we adopted our daughter. She's really the inspiration for why we started it. We were on the sidewalks in front of abortion clinics and realized that most of these women and men just don't see adoption as an option for them. Mm-hmm. And we knew her story. We knew that her mom had chosen life for her against the odds, pretty much, and then placed her into our family through adoption. And this happens only about 2% of the time mm-hmm. where a woman will choose life and adoption over death through abortion. So we were just burdened, and we sought out another ministry that was doing something similar to what God had placed on our heart. And we couldn't find anybody who was doing it front lines here in the U.S. And so the funny thing is we had just decided to homeschool. We had just adopted this baby recently. And then I thought, oh my goodness, is the Lord calling us to start a ministry? And so it was a big leap of faith for us, but we knew that somebody had to stand in the gap. And this is such an important piece of ending abortion. And we wanted to make sure that God was going to be honored by the church being able to give these moms and dads the true other option mm-hmm. other than parenting.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about, because I want to go back to the adoption story, your adoption story in particular. But I love your story about homeschooling and how that came to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, my husband was pretty much opposed to homeschooling because he had gone to school to get his master's in an education degree for public education. And so he had some pretty strong opinions about, you know, how our kids should be educated. To be honest, I didn't really hear about homeschooling growing up. I didn't know anyone who was homeschooled. So it didn't bother me that, you know, he was thinking more along the lines of traditional school. But somebody gave us the DVD series by James Dobson called Bringing Up Boys. We watched some footage in there and my husband's heart was really stirred. Mm. And he came to me and said, you know, I just don't think we're going to be able to put Rhett in public school. And I remember thinking, this, I already knew that we were going to homeschool. God had already pretty much given me that piece of information. It was just, you know, waiting for my husband. But I laughed and thought, well, wait a minute, you're the one with the education yeah. degree. I don't know how this is going to work. So I felt very ill-equipped mm-hmm. to be a homeschool mom, to be honest with you. I came out of corporate America And so that was the domain I was used to. So it was a real leap of faith for us. And it's been an amazing ride. I wouldn't change it. But that's how we got started into homeschooling.
So your oldest is 13. So you've been this now for what, about 8 years probably?
Yes.
Okay. Because I love your kids and my kids are exactly the same age, except you have a boy and a girl and I have two girls, but you have an 8-year-old and a 13-year-old just like me. And you know, we hear over and over again that moms feel like they're ill-equipped, and it doesn't matter what their educational background is. It does not matter what they've done in their career. Mm-hmm. Pretty much every mom goes into it with the realization that my child's whole education is in my hands. But if you think about it, their whole life is, you know, in your hands, and God has given them to you for such a short time. But he equips us to do everything that he's called us to do. And so with you adopting and starting to homeschool and starting this ministry all at the same time, you know, God has clearly equipped you to be able to do what he's called you to do. And I love that so much. Your story of adoption and your ministry is very near and dear to my heart. You know, I've mentioned probably on the podcast a few times that we were married for almost 11 years before we had our first daughter. But I don't talk a lot about the struggle that we had. You know, we tried for a really long time. We got married very young, and all I ever wanted was to be a wife and a mom. And so we got married, we had just turned 20, and I just thought, well, no one in my family had a problem getting pregnant. Why would I? And so for it to take so long for us to actually get pregnant was just, it was devastating. And we had our first finally, I mean, and the interesting thing is, and I'm sure you've heard this story many times, we had started looking into adoption because we couldn't get pregnant. And so I just thought, well, you know what? My heart is to be a mom. I mean, even though I wanted to feel that life inside of me, I really wanted to be a mom. And I thought if the Lord chooses to give us children through adoption, that's just as exciting as pregnancy. Right. And then I don't have to go through labor and delivery. So
I know.
So we started looking into adoption, and sure enough, ended up getting pregnant. I mean, just within probably a couple of months. So perhaps we should have started looking into adoption years earlier. But it was really exciting when I finally did get pregnant. And then took us another almost 5 years to have our second daughter, and we lost a couple in between there. So, you know, God's timing is perfect. But I remember you spoke a while back at an event. It was called Day of Mourning with Elizabeth Johnston and Heidi St. John, right, and the Benham Brothers and a bunch of other amazing people. And one of the things you said really struck me, and you talked about how there are two moms oftentimes, and you've got the mom who's crying because she can't have a baby and she desperately wants to have children. And she just can't for whatever reason. And then you've got another mom on the other side who's crying because she has found herself pregnant and she simply doesn't know what to do. She knows that she can't handle a child and being a mom. And so I love that your ministry gives these moms an option. And like you said, I mean, it's so shocking, I think, when we hear the statistics of how many of these moms choose abortion over adoption, when there are so many parents who desperately want to have children and they can't. I mean, when I hear of the list of parents who are waiting to adopt a baby, and they're waiting for sometimes years, then there's thousands who are being murdered every day, that has to shift. I mean, that paradigm just absolutely has to shift somehow. And so God has really given you and your family a platform, and you get to do it together. Because
that's right. Because we homeschool. That's right. Well, we love that part because our kids have always been able to be right beside of us whenever we're ministering. And it's been really special to make it that ability. I can't imagine it any other way, because obviously our daughter is very powerful in what we do.
Yeah.
She does come to the sidewalks with us. So does our son. They're both heavily involved in pro-life rescue ministry. And it's just a really special thing to be able to share with our kids.
That's so cool. So maybe take us through what it would look like, because for many people, it sounds really scary to be part of something like this, to go and actually confront the other side of it. What does it look like for you as a family when you maybe go to an abortion clinic or a, you know, pro-life center, and you get to talk with these moms?
Mm. Okay. So it, when we go, so you're asking about when we do the sidewalk, sidewalk. Okay.
Yes.
So for us, it is really, my husband is really a huge prayer warrior. So he has the prayer component, and I am more of the sidewalk counselor. So when I'm there, you know, pretty much calling out to the men and women as they're going in. A lot of times we're on a microphone, we're able to give the gospel. And so many times we hear them say, "I could hear you from inside the building. I heard what you said." And most of the time, it's not the words that we're speaking from our hearts. It's the words from the Word of God that just pierce their hearts in those moments. We've had women come out who were almost just moments away from having an abortion, saying that they've heard us, and then come on board. We work with a local ministry that is a pregnancy resource center out of Monroe, North Carolina, called HELP. And they actually use their mobile ultrasound unit in front of the abortion clinic and allow us to go on board and counsel these women while they're also having the ultrasound. And so it's really powerful. They also give free pregnancy tests. So it's an opportunity for us to allow that woman a little bit of time to slow down and just breathe for a few moments and think about what she's doing. That's really what it looks like. And our kids are there with us. My son, a lot of times is there, just helping with whatever needs to be done, whether it means holding a sign or helping with something else. And my daughter is a huge component because she's a living example of what choosing life looks like. And it's undeniable the power that she has when she's there. Wow. And I've seen grown men who are driving even their wives to the clinic. She and I have been able to stop their car in the middle of the road before they went into the clinic and talk to them. And she has been able to tell her testimony, and the men are weeping and realizing exactly what they're doing. So there is something very powerful that God has done, I believe, with the children who were spared from the atrocity of abortion. He is raising them up and using them as a voice for the voiceless.
Yeah, that's so amazing. We recently have learned about something similar to your mobile unit that you work with called Save the Storks. Right. And it's just a neat ministry that's, I mean, they're all over the country and they're growing more and more. And they say when those moms go onto the bus and they get to hear, see the ultrasound, they get to see their baby and hear that baby's heartbeat. Four out of five moms choose life for their baby.
Amazing.
Which is just absolutely incredible. Tell your story about how you ended up adopting, because your son is, he's your biological son.
That's right.
How did you end up adopting your daughter?
Well, we had our son, and, you know, I always tell everybody it was probably one of the easiest things that we'd ever done. We kind of sat down and said, "We think it's time to start a family." And 2 weeks later, I was pregnant and I was young. I was really naive. None of my girlfriends had experienced any losses at that point in time. And so I just really felt like that's the way it went for everyone. And so Rhett was about a year old, I think, when Reggie and I said, "Okay, it's time, you know, let's grow our family some more, let's start trying." And we tried and we tried, and a year went by and we finally said, "You know, something's just not right," because it was so easy the first time. "Let's go seek some counsel from an infertility specialist." And we were told, as our two-year-old son was sitting on my lap, my husband was on this side of me, and the doctor looked and said, "You know, your son is an absolute miracle. By the test results, he really shouldn't be here." And it just was such a shock for me. I was not prepared for that. I don't know what I was prepared for. I just never thought I would be told that there's a little chance that I'd ever have children again, from my womb at least. And I walked out that day. We went to lunch and I just felt so defeated and so broken, but my husband didn't. He had a different take on it. I'll just never forget him saying, "Jessica, have you ever thought that God may have a different plan for our family.
Wow.
And, you know, just to be real with you and the audience, because that's the only way I believe in being. I wasn't on board with adoption right away. It was something that was really hard for me. It was like I was dying to this dream I had in my mind of having little stair-step children who looked like us, who had our talents and different things. But it took me a while to die to that. And once I did, I opened my heart up to the possibilities that God would have. But it's also important that everyone know, for us, at least for me, it was still a scary process. And sometimes adoption, we see certain things on Facebook, and we don't always see the whole picture. But it's important for the audience to know that sometimes God calls you out onto the water, and you just have to take one step at a time, no matter how scared you are. Because I'm sure we'll get into it in a few minutes, but as I tell you more about our story, you'll see that God totally blew my mind with the dreams that I had for myself compared to what he had for us. So it's exciting. And I want everyone to know that, that if you are in the midst of something and fear has gripped you, hand it to him, because chances are once you hand it over, he's getting ready to bless you beyond measure.
Yes. Well, keep going with your story, because I know that there's some pretty exciting parts in there. So keep rolling with it.
Okay, so after I opened my heart to adoption, and my husband was so sweet and kind during that process, he never pushed me. He never told me how I should feel or what I should think. All he did was look at me and said, "I'd pray for you. I'll just keep praying for you." And he did. And one day I let go of that fear. And for us, it led us to a private adoption lawyer. And we were really excited because he said, you know, our wait would be about 6 months. So we were like, okay, this is wonderful. So we actually did get placed with a little girl, but the adoption did not end up going through. So for a couple who has experienced loss already, it was very similar to losing a child again. It was heartbreaking. And we couldn't figure out why this was happening. We just thought, we stepped out on the water, Lord, why would this be happening? So we, through a series of circumstances, we did not feel led to continue on with this lawyer. So God led us to an adoption agency. And I just will never forget the timing. It is so God. And I love telling this story because he gets all the glory. So with this agency, they only accept a certain number of couples per year. And the day that I had called, I believe they were having, it was like the week later, they were having it was kind of like you had to go to a conference and learn about what it meant to be an adoptive family. It's like a 2-day thing. And they had space for one more couple.
Oh, wow.
And that couple was us.
Wow.
And so we ended up going, and God really stretched me in the process because they ask you so many questions. You really get to see what your heart is made of.
Yeah.
And you get to see what's in there and maybe what doesn't need to be there. And so I remember our social worker looked at me and said, "Are you going to allow God to stretch you in the process?"
Wow.
And of course I told her yes, but I wasn't really thinking like anything major would happen. Well, we were told that we would wait anywhere from a year to 2 years or maybe more for a baby. And after we got our name on a list and got our book sent into the agency, I believe it was only about 2 or 3 days before we got a call that an adoptive mom and her parents had chosen Reggie and I and would like to meet with us. And that was really exciting. It's very fast.
Yeah, that is fast. That's amazing. How old was the adoptive mom or her bio mom?
She was 19.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So she was younger. Yeah. She was in college and younger. So, you know, she was just a brave young girl who knew she couldn't give Blythe the life that she wanted for her with two parents. So she and her mom and dad made a really hard decision. And as a family, that's how they came across our profile through the agency.
Wow.
And, they interviewed us, and it was neat because she actually was homeschooled.
Oh, wow.
For a portion of her schooling. Okay. And we had just decided a few days earlier to homeschool Rhett. So it came up during our interview.
Wow.
So I thought that was really neat.
That is amazing timing. We have to take a short break. We're late in the podcast to do this, but that's okay. We're going to take a short break and then we'll be right back.
Homeschooling moms, do you ever feel burned out, wondering how all those other moms seem to get it all done? Caring for family, helping at church, running a business, oh yeah, and homeschooling their kids? Well, I want you to quit homeschooling. Yes, I'm serious. I'm Danielle Papagiorgio, and I'm inviting you to attend the free Life Schooling Conference so you can learn to merge life with homeschooling. You see, homeschooling never used to look this way. The homeschool pioneers understood that real life and academics didn't have to be segregated or mutually exclusive. They knew how to incorporate learning into everyday life, teaching with a focus on their children's unique giftings, so they could be free to learn and grow into the unique individuals God created them to be. And I've invited some of those homeschool pioneers, as well as wise moms and dads who are currently homeschooling, to share some of this life schooling wisdom with you. Online, July 11th through 13th, there will be freebies, contests, and more. To learn more and to sign up, visit www.lifeschoolingconference.com. I hope you'll join us and learn to merge real life with homeschooling.
What an incredible story of your adoption of Blythe and then how God has used that to impact the lives of so many other people. He's just used your family, and all you've done is said yes and been willing to just obey and do what God's asked. And I think so oftentimes we don't realize that it just takes a yes. And like you said, it's just steps. You just take one step at a time. It's not like you end up deep in the middle of this ministry overnight. You just take one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, and God just opens the doors and does what he does. We just have to be willing to surrender and to obey.
That's so true.
Talk about homeschooling and not so much like what it looks like on a day-to-day basis, but you said your husband was a public school educator, has his master's degree in public education. How has that transformed your family?
Well, homeschooling in general, I can't get over how you get to share your life with your kids. Mm-hmm. And one of the most impactful things for us as parents has been that we know their hearts so well. Mm-hmm. We know their sin bins. We know what God has gifted them with. And I think it's so special to be able to do life with them on a daily basis, all during the day, and just have time with them. I really don't know how I could know them at such a deep level if I wasn't given that privilege. And so we're just so thankful. I'm thankful to my husband that he works so hard to make it a possibility for me to be home with them, and that we just have just shared life with them.
Does your husband still work in public education?
No, he's in cybersecurity. He works from home too. So we're all here together.
Yes, us too. We're the same. We love it. That's so great. I asked because we've actually interviewed several people who are public school teachers or work in the public school world. And they always homeschool their kids. Not that every public school educator homeschools, but the ones we've talked to. And it's usually because they're on the inside, they see what's going on and they say, not for my kids. You know, I'll go be salt and light and I will be a witness to these kids, but I will not put my children in this type of atmosphere. So we have a few more minutes and I would love for you to talk a little bit about working from home, because you have this ministry now and, you know, I never planned to be a work from home homeschool mom. I actually never planned to be a homeschool mom. And God had a better plan than I did, as he always does. But then I never planned to work in the midst of it. And God has called our family to film this documentary on homeschooling. And so I also get to work side by side with my husband. And that brings a whole new level of homeschooling.
Yes, it does.
because you then have to learn to kind of juggle ministry and homeschooling and family and all of that stuff. What does that look like for your family and for you?
It definitely takes some planning on my part. Because of the type of work that I do, I can get calls at 3 a.m. or I can get calls at noon. Yeah. My family has been so gracious when they have to share me. Just recently, a few weeks ago, they had to share me for about 2 or 3 full days where I was a labor and delivery partner for a young woman who chose life and wanted to place for adoption. And that meant that, you know, I was away from the home. Yeah. And my husband really stepped in. So I would say for us, it's just working as a team. I'm very blessed to have a husband who just really sees that there are some parts of this ministry that only I can do mm-hmm. as a female. And he's been gracious to be able to step in with homeschooling, whether that means taking them to, they're in a speech and debate club, for instance, mm-hmm. Or it means stepping in and helping teach some of the subjects when I'm not able to. And then my kids are just amazing. I couldn't ask for anything more when it comes to them. They understand that our family has a call mm-hmm. that most families don't have. And I'll give you, for instance, I'll brag a little bit on them. My son, especially, he's 13. And so when the day of mourning event that you mentioned earlier mm-hmm. in the podcast came about, Elizabeth and I sat down and talked about what was God really calling us to do. Baseball season was getting ready to start. And Rhett and I sat down with his dad and we talked a little bit. And, you know, he was willing to give up a sport that he really loves. And he's actually a really good player. And he saw, you know, this vision that God had put our family on the front lines of mm-hmm. something. And this is where we needed to be. And so that's pretty special when you yeah. see that they have a heart for ministry and yeah. that they're willing to give up some things that are really important to them.
Yeah, that's incredible. There's nothing better and no better training for our kids spiritually than to do ministry together as a family. Yeah. It's so important because we can take them to church on Sundays and we can read the Bible with them and we can say, this is what you should do. But if they don't actually see us doing it and they're not doing it with us, they're yeah. not experiencing the life that God has called them to. And, you know, God calls some families to do big ministries like what you're doing. And then he calls mm-hmm. some to, you know, whisper scripture into their ears of their babies as they're changing That's diapers right. and, you know, as they're reading to them and reading God's word to them. I mean, it doesn't matter how big or small your platform is. God's given every single one of us a platform and a purpose. And so bringing our kids alongside and doing that. And I mean, it could be going to the park and just seeing a mom who's maybe there alone with her kids and going up and meeting mm-hmm. her and just befriending her. I mean, there just are so Absolutely. Many ways to minister because we live in a hurting world who desperately needs Jesus and they need to see and hear and feel the love of Jesus through us and through our children and our families to where it just becomes second nature. You know, our kids don't know any different than to That's just right. do ministry. You know, it's, I remember several years ago, my husband and I went to a parenting class and one of our pastors who was teaching it, he also loved baseball. And mm-hmm. he said, you know, I fully expect that my sons will grow up to love baseball because I love baseball and we play baseball together and we watch baseball together and we talk about baseball. And mm-hmm. so I expect them to grow up understanding and knowing and loving baseball. He said, just like my kids know that I love Jesus and we learn about Jesus and we follow Jesus and we do mm-hmm. Jesus together. And that's exactly how that's it good. Should be. And when you're putting your kids in school for 35 or 40 hours a week and doing ministry by yourself, apart from them, mm-hmm. they're not getting to experience that with you. And, and it's just such a beautiful way to raise our kids. And, you know, we talk a lot on the podcast about how homeschooling is so much more than the academics. I mean, I feel like the academics are such a small part actually of homeschooling. I mean, they're necessary and important, but we're preparing them for life. And, you know, we want to prepare our kids for a life of serving Jesus, just like you are with your exactly. kids. So I love everything that you're doing. How can you encourage the mom who, who's homeschooling? Maybe she's thinking about going through adoption, and I shouldn't even say homeschooling. It could be a mom who's not homeschooling and maybe, mm-hmm. just listening to this podcast, but who's maybe considering adoption. Maybe she's having a hard time getting pregnant, or maybe she just feels like the Lord has put adoption on her heart. How would you encourage that mom?
I would say, you know, if you feel that prompting from the Lord, then chances are it's something he's leading you into. Mm-hmm. It's not something to be taken lightly. We don't always hear that message, but I'm a firm believer that not everyone is called to adopt, mm-hmm. but we are all called to be part of the process. Mm-hmm. So some are called to bring a child into their family. Some are called to finance the funding of an adoption. Some are called to pray. We are all called to be part of it because it is the heart of God. It's exactly what he did for us. Mm-hmm. He adopted us into his family. It's a beautiful picture of the gospel. So I would just say if that prompting is there, then chances are it is from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And to enter into fervent prayer about it, because it is such a special and sacred thing that you can do. It's totally different than parenting a biological child. I'll just be real, because there's so much that comes with it. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole another family, or possibly two families, mm-hmm. that you're going to be involved with. In our case, we have an open adoption, mm-hmm. and we have a relationship with Blythe's birth mother's side of the family, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, and of course her birth mom. Mm-hmm. So those are all things to consider. It's a huge blessing. And one of the things that doesn't get talked about a lot that I would just love to share is,
please.
I think that people are fearful of adoption. I get a lot of calls, and I believe in being real. I was fearful too. One of my fears was, would I love my daughter as much as my son? Because he was biological. How could it even be possible is what my mind was telling me. And I just want to say, the bonding process did take a little longer for me than it did with my son. But honestly, in my heart, I don't see any difference between my children. You know, you'd have to remind me which one is adopted. That's really how I feel at this point. And that was such a fear. So I just want to share that with you and your audience, because that's something that doesn't get talked about, because I think people don't want to ever seem as if adoption is something that would ever be negative. Mm-hmm. And it's not a negative, it's a growth process.
Sure.
And I always tell everyone that I feel absolutely privileged that God chose us to learn how deeply he loves us in the respect of adopting us into his family.
That's right.
And he allowed me to see that through an actual adoption in my own life. So I do feel very privileged, and I wish that everyone could have that experience, whether it's through adoption themselves or through walking with a family that has adopted.
Yeah. Oh, I love that encouragement so much. And, you know, in reality, every single one of our children belong to the Lord anyway. They don't belong to us.
That's right. That's right.
They're just on loan to us for a little while.
And an adopted child just comes through a different avenue.
That's right.
I firmly believe that our daughter was chosen for our family from the beginning of time.
Absolutely.
And it was just a brave young girl who was used as the vehicle to bring her into the world and share her with us.
Yeah, that is amazing. I love that so much. Thank you so much, Jessica, for your encouragement. Thank you for sharing your story and just opening up your heart and your family to us. And I hope that this will encourage others to just take action. And I love that you talk about, you know, even if God's not calling you specifically to adoption, he's calling us all to do something.
That's right.
And, you know, even if it's supporting an adoptive mom, just by loving her and loving her family or a family who's going through it, I think everybody knows somebody who is somehow touched by adoption. And so I love the encouragement of just being able to be out to encourage that so much. So thank you again. I love what you guys are doing. You are a blessing, and we appreciate having you on the show so much.
Thank you for having me. I so appreciate you being able to allow me to share my testimony. I think it's something that only God could write.
Yes.
I'm not the same girl that I was, you know, however many, 13, 14 years ago when we started the journey of parenting. And so he's done a work in me and is continuing to do it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I can't wait to see what he continues to do and how he continues to grow your ministry. Where can people find you?
Well, the website is a great place to go. So it's www.option-adoption.com. Okay. So if you ever need a resource for someone that you come across that may be abortion-minded or maybe a family that wants to learn more about adoption, you can find those things on our website.
Okay. And is it nationwide or do you just work with the Charlotte, mm-hmm. North Carolina area?
It's nationwide.
It is, yeah. Great. Okay, mm-hmm. Perfect. So, well, thank you again. And you guys, thank you so much for listening today. I hope it's been an encouraging episode for you. Have a great rest of your day and go encourage a mom somewhere, somehow.